Suzanne Cosgrove of John Lothian News. Over the last several months, the pandemic has upended all of us in numerous ways. Financial markets have been volatile, and exchanges have been challenged to keep pace and grow. Here to talk about it today is Brian Harkins, Executive Vice President and Head of Markets at Siebel Global Markets. Welcome, Brian.
My pleasure, Suzanne. Great to see you again.
Earlier this month, Siebel Global Markets announced an agreement to acquire MatchNow, an alternative trading system in Canada, from Virtue Financial. The acquisition gives Siebel a foothold into the Canadian capital market. And I wondered, Brian, why Canada and why now?
We're always going to be opportunistic about M&A. Our growth plans are going to be a combination of inorganic M&A opportunities, as well as organic build out of products and services. And we were opportunistic about this situation in that Virtue, certainly in the start of pre-COVID, looked at the MatchNow asset as a wonderful asset with great people, great track record of innovation and growth. But they also looked at it as a non-core asset. It is a market. And Virtue is a broker-dealer and a market-making firm. And really the expertise of operating a market probably MatchNow meant was better off in someone else's hands. So there was a competitive process that we were involved with. We've always had our eyes on the Canadian market. You know, it checks a lot of the boxes that we find attractive. It's a large market, sophisticated investor base, a lot of assets under management, geographically and culturally close to the United States. And it also allows us, it's an asset class that we know well, which is equities. We pride ourselves on being a very successful global equities exchange operator. And we think we can bring our core strengths in technology and operating playbook to the Canadian market to add incremental value for investors and the customers of MatchNow. And I also think that this allows us to potentially do other things and gets us a foothold in Canada. As I said, we love the team in MatchNow, and success starts with people. And we're going to look at and listen to customers first and foremost about how do we continue to move their lives forward. What problems can we solve? How can we make the Canadian markets better? So we're going to do a lot of listening, but we think we can bring our core strengths to really compete up there.
MatchNow is a broker-neutral dark pool, and it trades off exchange. I'm wondering, this is an area that differs quite a bit from traditional trading platforms. Is it an area you expect to grow globally, in not just in Canada, but U.S. and Europe?
I think the first thing it's important to point out that in Canada, the regulators are okay with an exchange operator operating both an exchange and an ATS. Really, the only difference between an ATS and an exchange is really a regulatory classification. They're both markets at its core. How you may be successful as an ATS and how you're successful as an exchange, very similar. You have to obsess over liquidity quality. You have to provide quality liquidity to your customers. You have to allow market makers and asset managers to be able to transfer risk and move stock without impacting the market. Customers want to be able to trade at a competitive fee and competitive rate, and they all want to do it with great service and on outstanding technology. And so for us, whether it's an ATS or an exchange, we are a market operator at our core, and that's what we do best. We look at MatchNow as part of, you know, a global equities story that we're building.
Do you expect to introduce or add other trading platforms once you get up there, once you're in Canada?
We're not ready to unveil what our playbook would be, but certainly MatchNow and the impressive team is going to create a lot of opportunities for us in Canada. But the first thing we're going to do is we're going to listen to customers. Yes, we have a lot of expertise. We've had a recipe for success around the world, but that comes first and foremost with listening to customers. We're going to listen to the unique Canadian needs. How do we improve markets for Canadian investors? What are pain points that we can solve? So any type of global strategy has to come with a regional and national flavor, and our first step is listening to customers.
Cboe announced last week that it would reopen its Chicago Options Exchange trading floor on June 8th. Cboe normally has a hybrid system, trading by open outcry and electronic means, but has been trading as an all-electronic platform since March 16th due to the pandemic.
What I was wondering was, during this period, if it affected volumes or open interest.
We did hear very consistent anecdotal feedback from large institutions and hedge funds that, you know, due to, they've counted on the SPX to be able to do massive size and hedging over of large portfolios in one fell swoop. And they're used to the open outcry floor as an efficient way for them to be able to do large size in one shot. They've told us with going to all electronic, they've had to break their orders up into multiple pieces. So that process has been suboptimal in their view, and perhaps keeping them on the sidelines and doing trades, not doing trades that they would ordinarily do. But of course, it's hard to completely uncouple, you know, the liquidity impact going electronic with the really the uncertainty in the macroeconomic climate. And so we have, you know, large asset managers, hedge funds who have been really averse in putting on directional bets until they see, you know, more consistent, when is the unemployment numbers going to get better? When are we going to see more consistent COVID data that's pointing to the positive? When do we know when retail spending will start to pick up? We're just starting to hit the reopening phase of the American economy. And so I think you have a lot of asset managers really still on the sidelines, not placing many directional bets, which has also impacted volumes.
What about the customer experience for smaller firms like the retail customer?
You know, SPX, going back to SPX again, as a product, we've seen retail usage really pick up in recent months and years in SPX. And SPX has always been more of an institutional product given the notional size of the contract. And we've never had an auction for SPX. Really, the price discovery occurs in the open outcry pit. But due to going fully electronic, we enabled an auction for our SPX product. And the results have been very, very positive for retail within that auction. So going back to what you said earlier about how Cboe has always employed a hybrid approach, the new path forward in SPX will be making sure that the product can still cater to those large institutions who come to enjoy the floor, being able to transition large size in one shot, but also can cater to the retail product, the retail customers who've had a great experience in our auction. So you'll see us leave the auction on up to certain size limits for retail customers.
There was a recent study by two professors, I'm sure you saw, one from New York University and one from University of Illinois, looking at the closing market auction quality. And this is sort of what you're referencing now. They looked at it at the NYSE. And during the period when it had its floor closed during the COVID-19 pandemic, they found that NYSE auction quality improved when it was all electronic. But later, according to the journal, the Wall Street Journal, the NYSE questioned that study. I'm just wondering about your thoughts about that process and if you've, what your take is on it.
Sure. I think it's really important to note that, you know, when you're having a discussion and a debate around floors and open outcry, you can't lump all floors and the value of floor trading together. There are market differences between options floor trading and equities floor trading. So the NYSE's floor is a much different debate than why options floors still exist in the industry. With respect to the NYSE, my personal views are there is, you know, one of the unique things around the NYSE is through the floor brokers who have a process which is called D-quotes, where the industry can submit orders to floor broker handhelds right up until essentially the moment of the closing cross at 4 p.m. Eastern. And in an all-electronic environment, the dequote process has been shut off. And so I think really what that study is finding is that perhaps price discovery and formation around the auction was occurring earlier. And so what impact has the dequotes, and what value do the dequotes add, and why do they get to essentially jump the line right up until 4 o'clock in a normal trading day when the floor is in operation? So I think the industry will debate that one for quite some time, but it was an interesting case study that, you know, price formation in an electronic environment was certainly different.
Just for our listeners who are not quite familiar with the options procedure, can you just briefly explain the difference?
Yeah, there's the main difference is that options exchanges, when customers are going to, when a market maker is going to pair off with a customer order, and they have to, and they are going to print that order. In the options industry, they have to bring that print to the exchange. There is no off-exchange trade reporting facility like what exists in equities. So when the when a customer brings a paired order, a market maker brings a paired order to an exchange, they have to print it. And the floors have become a great venue for customers and market makers to bring those paired orders. But under SEC rules, those paired orders have to be exposed to a crowd to see if they can be pricing proved and if that customer can enjoy a better price from the crowd. So the options industry has a variety of floors where these prints come to the exchange, are exposed to a crowd, and then are printed on the floor. And then I think the second difference is really due to, especially from Cboe's sake, we have proprietary products that are institutionally geared that allow institutions to come to a trading pit to trade very large size in one shot.
Moving on to the retail priority offering that Cboe's EDGX offers, that really focuses also on individual investors. And I just wondered if you could update us on how that initiative is going. I know there was a recent filing with the SEC on the small retail brokers distribution program, which had offered rebates for the execution of certain order types. Could you talk a little bit about that and let us know how it's going?
Sure. You know, Cboe, in our equities history, dating back to the BATS and direct edge days, have always looked to build products that cater to the unique needs of the end retail investor. And for us, you know, in the whole debate around speed and market fairness, and we believe that, you know, the U.S. equity markets serve the end investor quite well. But in a as more and more exchanges are popping up, innovation and reinventing yourself to cater to the specific needs of different market constituents is something that Cboe has prided itself on. So when we thought about retail priority, it kind of de-emphasizes speed and order book priority. And it allows, if you are a true retail customer, the end customer, the mom and pop investor, then you're going to enjoy order book priority in the exchange. And the results have been outstanding. You know, we have very consistent data that shows that retail orders are enjoying better fill rates, that are getting done faster due to their improved queue priority. And the outcome has been great. We're doing on any given day between 80 and 100 million shares a day executed in retail priority. So it's been a great outcome for the end investor.
What do you attribute that success to?
You know, our broker customers and the retail investor, retail brokers and the wholesalers that service them, you know, we try to provide them with consistent data so that they can make an informed decision on whether the EDGX retail priority is providing a better outcome for their end customer. And so, you know, data, a lot of the order flow provision in the market and the decision-making is data-driven. And so we've put a lot of compelling data in front of our customers, and the results have been outstanding, and we appreciate their support.
And you still offer rebates for the execution of certain orders or not?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we offer rebates as, you know, both to market makers and to retail customers. You know, exchanges, it's a tough fight and it's a very competitive market. And customers and our customers are going to make decisions on which exchanges they support based on a variety of factors: strength of technology, service, operational relationships, the data that shows whether their customers are getting a better best execution experience on the exchange. And of course, rates are always part of the picture as well, and we need to be competitive there.
Finally, we are coming off a period of more than 2 months of market volatility linked to COVID-19. What have been some of Cboe's biggest challenges of the period and its achievements?
You know, I would say our challenges are certainly not unique. It's, you know, our first and foremost focus has been the health and wellness of our employees. And I think that's what we're most proud of as a company, is the ability to really continue. And this is led by our CEO, Ed, who, you know, is sending personal emails to the entire staff on a regular basis to keep people's spirits up, to tell our employees what the company is doing, to really navigate uncharted waters where we ourselves don't have all the information about when the end is in sight. And I think our employees really, really appreciate that. I think the logistics from working from home has surpassed my expectations. I think, you know, we're probably in line with the industry in that we're more productive and efficient. And we have proven that working from home is possible. And we're growing. And you know, throughout this, I mean, we mentioned that we're doing M&A and we're setting our organic and inorganic growth plans. And we're doing this all in a work from home environment. You know, that said, there are intense challenges. It's hard to keep everybody's spirits up. We miss everybody. And that camaraderie we definitely miss, not only with our employees, but with the industry at large. And we can't wait to get that back.
This is Suzanne Cosgrove reporting for John Lothian News.